This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Cherry Hill Volvo is honored to sponsor the Rich Zeoli podcast. We thank Rich for informing and entertaining all of us. Rich Zeoli, 1210 Talk Radio and Cherry Hill Volvo, an absolutely amazing team.
Just how much money has the government taken from us, our government, taken from us without even charging us with a crime? It's an amazing report from the Institute for Justice. We'll talk about it. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Facebook.com/Zeoli Show and on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. 855-839-1210 is our number, 855-839-1210. We're also looking at the latest with the storm, of course, monitoring that for you today. And also a question, too, which is what's going to happen with schools in New Jersey? Are they going to walk back the decision to keep schools open or not? That is a question. Some rumors are swirling around today, swirling around everywhere, whether or not that will happen. But first, I want to welcome to the show. Jennifer McDonald is a senior research analyst at the Institute for Justice. Jennifer, good morning. I was really troubled to read this report that the Institute for Justice put out about just how much money our government has taken from innocent Americans. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us, give us some of the gritty details here about how much money was taken.
Well, so between 2000 and 2016, Department of Homeland Security agencies seized more than $2 billion, that's billion with a B, from travelers at our nation's airports.
$2 billion with a B from travelers at our airports. So in other words, somebody's flying, they're about to get on an airplane, they have cash on them, and then it's just taken.
Absolutely. You know, I think law enforcement often thinks that a large amount of cash is indicative that there's something criminal going on, when that definitely is not the case, and it's not a crime to carry any amount of cash when you're traveling domestically within the United States.
I agree, and it's infuriating to me that they even have these kind of rules. So do they have to charge anybody with a crime? Does anybody get in trouble for just having the money, or is it just a matter of they just go, you know, we'll take this just so that you don't, you know, go and do something something bad with it?
Well, our research finds that there's very little link, if any, to criminal activity. In less than a third of all airport currency seizures was someone arrested in conjunction with the seizure. So if you think about that, if law enforcement thinks that traveling with $40,000 is evidence that you are participating in drug trafficking or money laundering, you would think they would at least arrest somebody to try and stop that serious criminal activity. But no, they just most often seize the cash and send the traveler on their way.
Seize the cash, send the traveler on their way, just like that. That's amazing to me. And then, so of course, now when they take the money, do they even have to have some sort of a probable cause? Or they have to say, like, we believe you might do this? Like, what's the argument when somebody says, you can't take my money?
Well, unfortunately, to seize property, all law enforcement needs is probable cause. And it's pretty easy, I think, for them to come up with probable cause. Usually, it's because the cash itself is suspicious, or if they've got a drug dog, you know, drug dogs always alert to cash because there's traces of narcotics on pretty much every bill in circulation in this country. So it's pretty easy to get that probable cause. There's a higher standard of proof when trying to keep it, but it's still far below the beyond a reasonable doubt standard that we are entitled to under criminal law.
You also talk about how the number one reason why money is seized is because of a paperwork violation. What does that mean?
So the number one, half of all the currency that we found in our study was seized for a simple failure to file a proper paperwork. And that violation is, you know, when traveling internationally, we are required to report to customs if we're traveling with $10,000 or more. Now, everybody coming into the country is aware of that requirement because customs makes it very clear when you're going through your screening. But that requirement also applies when you're exiting the country, and customs makes little effort to advertise that fact. So at the Institute for Justice, you know, we've had clients, one of whom was taking her life savings to Nigeria to open up a free medical clinic for women and children, had no idea she was supposed to report that fact to customs. And so they seized her cash just on that alone. You know, these reporting violations are often just that. They're in only 0.3% of cases is another more serious crime alleged at the same time as this failure to report, and only one in 10 cases saw an arrest in conjunction with that seizure under reporting requirements.
Jennifer McDonald is a senior researcher with the Institute for Justice. They are defending people who have their money taken under this civil asset forfeiture. Americans, over a period of a couple of years, $2 billion, over 30,000 seizures in the last decades. Now, what happens when somebody takes my money? How do I go about getting it back? They haven't charged me with a crime. I'm an innocent person. They just have taken my cash. What do I do?
So with civil forfeiture, the presumption is that once the government seizes the cash, they are entitled to keep it unless you are able to mount a defense to prove your own innocence. So it's up to the property owner to correctly file a claim for the return of seized property and then navigate that federal civil judicial system. Now, because this is civil and not criminal, you're not entitled to an attorney. And so anybody who can't afford to hire an attorney, which is going to cost you thousands of dollars under this federal system, is forced to navigate the system alone. And quite often, people just decide to walk away because they don't have the resources or the knowledge to be able to fight back. And that's why we see that, you know, 93% of all of these civil forfeiture cases are processed administratively, which means just by default, the government just gets to keep whatever they seize.
Philadelphia Airport amounted to only about $7 million in seized assets, seized money. But JFK Airport in New York, $100 million was seized from nearly 3,000 flyers. That's pretty significant.
Yeah, JFK is consistently one of the most, it sees the most seizure traffic. And that's not just because JFK sees more air travelers than other airports. In 2016, for example, JFK seized 19% of all of the currency seized at the airports that we studied, but accounted for only 4% of air travelers. So this is definitely a disproportionate focus on seizures at this airport.
What do we do about this? I mean, I know that Senator Rand Paul has a bill in the Senate to end civil forfeiture. I know the Supreme Court has teased us with taking cases on the issue, but they haven't actually, you know, decided anything yet. How does this go away? I mean, this is so unconstitutional. Nobody's even being charged with a crime in most of these cases. But, you know, regardless of that, I mean, unless you've been found guilty, in which case it becomes criminal forfeiture, you know, this is just such a violation of due process. What do we do about this? I know the Institute for Justice is working hard on this. What's the latest?
So, I mean, first and foremost, Congress needs to abolish the civil forfeiture program. You know, without civil forfeiture, it means that Americans will have all of the due process rights that are entitled to them under criminal procedures. So getting rid of the system entirely is really the only way to protect people. But we have seen, you know, in the last 5 years, even the public awareness on this issue and the disapproval of this issue has increased so much that we hope by, you know, increasing public awareness that police and prosecutors will think twice before violating all of these due process rights. So, you know, we're doing what we can. We're filing lawsuits that we can. But I think, you know, mostly people just need to demand from their representatives that they eliminate this program because nobody's safe.
Yeah. Jennifer McDonald, senior research analyst at the Institute for Justice. Thanks for making time today and keep up the good work over there fighting for our due process rights under the Bill of Rights. It's important.
Thanks for having me.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.